And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
More grateful day. I don't play enough day. Well, I think you all know what that means. When you hear that opening, it means Midwood's, is it over? Yeah, I can't even, I barely put the headphones on. I mean, I was debating not putting them on at all, which would be real slovenly for me. I gotta play more dead. Even in my personal life, I don't play enough. I just need to play more dead. I know I've been happy playing dead, so I have to presume if I continue to play dead or more dead, I'll be somehow magically transformed and happy because I feel like shit, man. It's been one of those weeks. You know, again, we're at the point where the producer is asking me 3 hours before the show, are you going on tonight? So usually it goes without question, but I went to the dentist and I got some, that's a whole other story. I went to the dentist and I got some fillings in the front of my teeth that I already had fall out. So the dentist reinstalled them, which was fun. And I had my meds switched up because I was getting dizzy, you know. And I think I mentioned they took me off my blood pressure meds because, well, they figured I was getting dizzy and then my blood pressure went up, duh. And so we put me back on the blood pressure meds, and I was still getting a little dizzy. So now on the psych side of things, what we did was is we cut the clonidine in half. It was 0.2, now it's 0.1 per tablet. And those are supposed to be, like, as needed for, like, anxiety and whatnot. But we pretty much live in an as-needed world at the moment. You know, it's like everything that can be broken in case of emergency has pretty much already been broken. So we cut that dosage in half. And what we did was, and this is really interesting, we changed my gabapentin dosage, okay? I was maxed out at 2,400 a day. You can't, there's nothing, after 2,400, there's no benefit to my situation, giving my back and my brain. So I was taking 600 milligrams four times a day because it is rather short-lived. Those of you who are familiar with gabapentin will know that. Now I'm taking 800 milligrams a day. So I take it with the more what I call my AM pills, and I take it with my PM pills, and then there's one right in the middle that I usually pop all by itself in the middle of the day. And I think the higher dosage on the gabapentin is something's different. I'm like, I don't know how many of you have done a fair amount of drugs, illegal or otherwise, in your life. Perhaps we'll use the term illicit. I like that term better. You know, you get that kind of sweaty, something's going on with your chemistry, your body chemistry. And it's been warm here, and I got the new air conditioner on, and there's an air conditioner on in here, and I cannot stop sweating. I was cold sweating last night. It was crazy. Went out to do laundry, which is always fun, by the way. Went out to do laundry, and I had some Wendy's. I had a Baconator and some fries and a regular Coke. And this is before we did the laundry. We went home, and I wasn't feeling well on the way home, and then it was like, okay, I'm not putting the laundry away. So it just kind of sat there, you know, the bane of every mother's existence, a big pile of laundry to be put away. I started to get, like, nauseous. And then I proceeded to disappear from the room. We were watching a documentary on the Federal Reserve, which is always fun. And I puked my guts up. I puked my toenails up. That's how I was sick. And then I went back in the room, and I was just sweating, and I was sweating, and I'm even sweating now. And I was in the shower, and I was woozy in the shower. I was literally dizzy in the shower, which is never a good sign. I mean, as far as these things go. I'm starting to feel a little bit like gymnasium. No. I don't feel well. I'm not well, you know? And I was going to, like, not do this at all. And then I said, you know what? I can come out, and I can do an hour. I can do it now. The world's crazy enough where even if I didn't pick any news out in particular and I didn't pick any music, I didn't pick zero music, no music. I can bang out an hour. I can do an hour. I'm like, you know, I can do it. So that being said, you know, it's funny. I was at the dentist, like I said, and they had to give me a COVID test. They gave me the COVID test, you know, and I passed it. Yay. Or else they wouldn't work on me, you know, because I guess it's like aerosol. There's something to do with aerosols and stuff like that, where it's like you can breathe in stuff, and I didn't want to take any chances and whatnot. So they gave me the test, whatever the rigmarole is. They gave me the test, and that's fine. So I get there, and it's actually I forgot to confirm. It's the kind of place where you need to confirm. So I forgot to confirm my appointment, and I didn't realize until I'd already started to go. So it was like I had a 50-50 chance that I was going to be able to get this, but I had they saved the point. They saved the spot for me because I'm like when I have an appointment, I make it. It's like I show up to this fucking show. I make it. Two things I do: I show up for the goddamn show, get my ass in the chair, and I usually make medical appointments because I don't like fucking around with my health. I'm old. I'm broken. I really need the help. So I'm sitting there in the room and I'm filling out some paperwork and whatnot. And they bring me back into to the desk. Say, hi, how are you? And blah, 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 you know. And the way the rooms are set up, there's one dental room and then there's another dental room. They each have their own doors into the hallway, but there's an open wall towards the end. And it's like a shared sink. So I guess the idea is that the dentist and assistants, they can move between those rooms without having to go through the hall, which makes sense. So in essence, there's just like a partition between you and the person in the next thing. So I noticed, because I have nothing to do but, you know, time to notice things, I noticed that the woman who came in at the same time as I did went into the room, and she seemed perfectly normal. You know, I'm listening because I was like, numb up, hate the numb, you got to wait, you got to do this. So it was like 10, 15-minute periods where I was doing like nothing but sitting there in this chair and listening. So I'm listening to this normal woman, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then when it dawns on me that they're going to have to drill, oh, my God, I hate drilling. I'm like, okay. And then the Novocaine, and you know, and I'm like, I don't know, like, you know, the whole nine yards. And then they finish with the other woman. I'm thinking, wow, I've been in this chair like a half hour, because it was 15 minutes to get the exam. It was another 15 minutes for the numbing to start, right? So just as this doctor's about to start, getting in my knees and the drilling and, you know, the unpleasant part, I'm hearing this loud noise from the, I will call it cubicle, because that's basically what it is, from the cubicle next door. And it is this really loud, obnoxious Rhode Island woman, like a Karen. It's the only thing I could, you know, and she's screaming at everyone, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And she's like, I had to come in, it's emergency, my daughter was bit by a dog or something or another. And it's like, so the doctor, who's an Indian doctor, they're very calm, okay, well, let me look and let me see what we, you know, what the deal is. And I have no problems with Indian dentists. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of the dentists that I've had over the last 20 years are Indians. It just works out that way. It's really strange. All with English accents, proper English, the Queen's English. So I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I'm literally getting stressed in this chair listening to this woman go. And so the doctor says, okay, I think what we need to do is we need to bond it. Now, I got no visual. I can't see nothing. But we need to bond whatever the... Now, this is on her daughter. This isn't even her. This is her daughter. Her daughter's in the chair. And apparently, she's accompanying the daughter. And then I'm thinking, okay, so the daughter's got like... It got to be like, okay, apparently, the daughter's 19. This comes to light. So the daughter is capable of speech, but yet exceedingly afraid. I don't blame her, quite frankly. So the doctor's like, we're gonna bond it. And she's like... And now the woman, refer to her as Karen, she's like, no. No bonding... I'm not giving you permission to bond. There shall be no bonding. And it's like, you know what? The doctor says, all right, I'll be right back. Runs over to me, make sure I'm okay, which I am. Now deeply intrigued, by the way. And goes back about, you know, five, 10 minutes later. And she says, well, I'm going to make a notation that it should be bonded. And Karen screams at her, don't make any notations in your notes about it being bonded. If you do, my lawyers will be down here, and I will sue the shit out of this place, and nobody will have a job. And I'm like, listening to this woman, and I'm like, I mean, what the fuck could your problem be? I mean, I guess maybe if there's, I don't know, I don't even understand. I guess I was looking through a keyhole, or more accurately, listening through a keyhole. So I don't really know, but I was all stressed. All I can think of is that she didn't want whatever the procedure done because it had something to do with who she was going to sue the people who were responsible for whatever that accident was. And that just came over, started working on me, and then the whole thing faded out. And then I guess I left. I was done before the quote-unquote Karen situation was remedied. And this is an interesting place. I don't know if I mentioned the week before. Did I bother to mention the week before? I think I did. I don't know. This is the, now, haven't been to the dentist in a while because obviously with the COVID situation. So it kind of screwed up, people's normal checkup cycle. You know, your 6-month, cleaning and poking around, seeing what's going on. So I got the call from them, I don't know, maybe about 6 weeks ago. And they're like, you want to come in? I'm like, yeah, sure. And it was a new place. It wasn't where I had normally gone before, but it was still CCAP. My dental's done by CCAP. Same thing, my psych and all my other general purpose medical needs are all done by CCAP. So I said, yeah, I'll come in. And like I said, I forgot to confirm, but I came in, and that's when they just did the poking around. This was the Wednesday. I guess it was the Wednesday before last. So I'm sitting there, and this is now the first time that I'm in this place with these people, new staff, and you know how that works, the receptionist and all that jazz. So I'm sitting there, and she gives me a stack of stuff to fill out because it's what she says, have you seen us since then? And I'm like, no. So I'm like, okay. So she gives me stuff to fill out, right? So, and there's social distancing going on. Everybody's wearing a mask and there's space. And I hope I didn't tell this story last week. I think I would remember if I did. But what winds up happening is there's this person, this guy, and a middle-sized guy, 5'8", whatever, 5'9". I notice that about people. I notice height because I'm tall myself. You know what I mean? I generally notice people's size because then I'm like, am I the big one? Am I the biggest person in the room? Becomes the question at all given points in time. And then the second question is there anything here I can use as a weapon? And I notice this guy's getting agitated and he's close to the door where they pop out with a reception, where they pop out to come your numbers, when they lead you to the gas chamber, as it were. No gas. I wish. He's starting to get really agitated. And one of the dental assistants pops out and says, now I'm like, I got to be 10 feet from all this. I'm that far down because with the social distancing, people aren't sitting next to each other. So 10 feet is 4 seats, maybe 5 seats apart, because how that works. And I'm minding my own business, but you can feel the tension in the room starting to get, and the guy's ramping up and he's ramping up. And she says, I need you to sign. She walks up to him and she says, I need you to sign this. You're not going to be able to see the doctor today. And that's what I need you to sign this about. And I guess, again, everything's about liability in this damn world. Liability. Not about things that make sense anymore. It's all about liability. And the guy freaks the fuck out. I mean, he gets up and he's in her face. And he's weaving and bobbing back, weaving. See how I'm going close to the microphone and then back. And he's like, and just the body language is seriously fucking beyond hostile into violent. So I'm like, you know what? This dental assistant who popped out to give him this apparently bad news, she's 5'1", 5'2". And my thing kicks in and it's like, you know what, Midwood, you can either mind your own fucking business or you could take steps to change the situation, lack of a better term, change the situation. So I get up, bad back and all, I get up and I glide and I put myself between the ranting person and the dental assistant. And I refuse to let it, and I bump, chest bump back. And he's like, I'm going to be waiting for you outside the whole night. And then he leaves and they look at me and they say, you really didn't need to do that. And I look them at back and I say, yeah, I really did, not for nothing. So they knew who I was. But that's when I walked in with the late appointment, remember saying I didn't confirm the appointment on Wednesday. I think I already have made a reputation for myself. I have a reputation at my new dentist. I've never seen the guy again. Yeah, I mean, he was really, it was like psych off of meds. I mean, I know what it is to be off of meds because, you know, part of me being sick last night was I skipped a med dose. Not only am I transitioning, but I skipped a dose, which is really horrible. And I started to feel really shitty. But yeah, I couldn't, you know, I can't do anything about Portland. I can't do anything about Seattle. I can't do anything about Kentucky. I can't do anything about even protests that turn ugly in my own city, which did happen, I believe, earlier today. I can't do anything about anything. I can get out of bed whenever the hell I do, and I could kind of scrape together just enough so that I have a reality that's kind of worth getting out of bed for, which I do. But there's, I feel less than empowered. I guess, you know, there's a lot of empowerment going on. And I think that's, you know, the Schwarzes are all about the empowerment. And so are all the minorities and all the disinfected, you know, disinfected, disenfranchised is what I meant to say. Disinfected. You can't find any way. Can't find it. I saw two cans of Lysol when I went shopping last time on Walmart all by themselves. There are two cans. And I just swooped them. I know what it is to swoop. I've never swooped before in my life. I swooped, and had them in my hand at the register before you could say, what was that? But anyway, so there's a lot of empowerment going on. I feel I've been left behind or deprived or entitlement. And my biggest fear is, very much, I think I discussed this last show or show before last, or maybe the one before that. I can't even tell. Where what's frightening to me is the idea of all of these messages, all these disenfranchised people are coalescing around with what is at its core Marxism. See, because that's the only thing that's going to work for these people. That's the only way that they feel that they're going to get their fair share when they're getting exactly what everybody else gets, even if they didn't work for it, or more accurately, even if they don't work for it. It's Marxism. And we know what happens when we go from Marxism into the slippery slope and all that. So that's a little disheartening to me. There are people standing up. I know a couple guys in professional sports. I don't follow baseball, but I know baseball has started its 60 game season. I know there are a couple of people who didn't take the knee, and one guy did a Bible verse thing on his jersey and whatnot. So that's good that people are standing up for themselves. I just noticed, speaking of sports, I think it was the New York Liberty and the Seattle, whatever Seattle's WNBA team. And yes, the WNBA is a real thing. I think there was a game, I don't know where it was, but they had a game, and they, as the anthem was playing, both teams walked off the court and into the dressing room area. Now, as far as I know, after the anthem was over, they came back and they, you know, played the ball game, you know, like you would expect Good Little Monkeys to do. Overpaid Good Little Monkeys, I might add. So I don't know exactly what the message was there. You know, if you have that much of a problem with being paid millions of dollars by corporate America to play a game with a ball, and then if you're actually good enough at it, maybe, you know, get endorsements and possibly have a broadcasting career, even if you're not that good at it. You know, I'm not looking at you, John Starks. I don't understand what you just disenfranchised about. I don't I don't get it. You know, I'm not 100% sure what's going on there. I think while we're on sports, I might as well get this over with, because this is a little bit of a bitter pill for me. But I'm gonna state with the fact that I have so little in my life that I'm actually passionate about, that I don't care. This is my official, I don't care. I'm watching the NBA anyway. That's so we know going in. So if that idea turns you off, you can just walk away or click your, whatever your thing. I used to say click your dial. There's no longer a dial involved here. Lots of dials for me, none for you. I just heard, I got a cacophony of, you know, in regards. I know the NBA is doing that, whatever their thing is, that over there, I think it's in Florida, on those, in the bubble courts, whatever it is, the NBA bubble. I know they're playing some games, and I know they're going to have, I think the sideline, if you know what the basketball court is, it's the sideline is going to have Black Lives Matter on it. I believe it's already been stenciled there. And I believe they've given the players the option to wear jerseys that have social justice slogans, for lack of a better term. I'm not 100% sure what that's going to entail. I don't know if the pay me option was on one of those, but I guess it's implied. So that's what they're going to do. So it's like, okay, great. You know, it's like LeBron James, again, just throw the ball around and try and trail Michael Jordan, because you'll never be the greatest of all time because it's already been done. Go ahead. Whatever makes you happy, send the stadium cookies. I think when he moved back to, I don't even want to get into it. But when he moved back to Cleveland after being in Miami, he bought the neighbors cupcakes. He sent boxes of cupcakes to their house. So that's rather interesting. I don't care about him. I mean, other than the fact that he's a player on the court, and it's a bitch to play against, obviously. But other than that, I don't see him as a person. I'm not required to, as much as he might think otherwise. He's just an aspect of a cog in a much bigger machine for me. Now, as most of you know by now, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I know people who have given up NASCAR because they don't like what's going on, and I respect them for that. That's a decision that they've made. I've actually stopped watching NASCAR because I had so far to go before I actually knew what was going on that I figure most of the people that I would be talking to about it aren't talking about it anymore. So it's like, you know what? We'll let that pass. I'm not passionate about NASCAR. But I am basketball, and I am specifically the New York Knicks. Now, here's the deal. I got to understand something. I have Knicks memorabilia. I have signed photos. I have most of the original 69 team signed on one thing or another, including Bill Bradley, which is very difficult to get, and DeBuscher, because he's well dead. And dead guys, it becomes a limited edition. I've got a fair amount of Knicks memorabilia. I do. I don't have any signed balls. That's one of these days I'll get a signed ball. But I was never much for the new guys. I mean, as far as memorabilia goes, I probably wouldn't buy anything from a Knick past 99. What's that? It's like 21 years ago. I mean, and I'm still watching. I'm rooting for the laundry, as I like to say. So I have jerseys. I have Mitchell and Ness jerseys. I have a major financial investment. Let's put everything else aside. Let's put the fashion aside. I think the financial investment is a symptom of the passion, I think. But we can put a lot of aside for a moment there. I've been long suffering, obviously, since the 99-2000 run. I've seen coaches come. I've seen coaches go. I've seen, I can't tell you what I've seen, but I've seen something now. I like the front office management changes that have been made. I don't know the dude's name, but he seems to be real sane, which is good. And I just heard, I think it's this evening, that the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau are in the midst of signing a 5-year deal for Tom Thibodeau to be New York Knicks head coach. And he was an assistant coach under Van Gundy. So the man and you may remember him from his run in Chicago. And I know he was somewhere else between Chicago and there. I don't know, was it Minnesota maybe? I'm not 100% sure. But the timing was never right. And I love the guy. I love the guy to death. I love the guy to death. He's very defense oriented. And we got some decent pieces, and I don't know. I think, I want to get this, whatever this silly thing is that's going to be a short season or the playoffs or whatever the fuck they want to call it. I want to get it over with, and in the fall, I would even say winter, I'd settle for a late start and get something going in the winter. I'm in. It's one of my, what do they call it? Guilty pleasures. So it shall remain so, even in the current environment. And I'm not, listen, the vast majority of people who are into watching the NBA are either going to be woke niggas anyway, all right, or they're going to be white people who don't care. See, and this is the thing. This is really what's important. And this really, I think the vast majority of people, if not everyone who listens to this program, could probably say the same thing. I don't want to speak for you all. But there's nothing that the Black Lives Movement Matter can say in regards to ideology that's going to make me feel one bit different about them. I think over time, they'll be marginalized, like always, because this is what happens. So cancel culture will eventually be canceled. I think the bigger concern should be the amount of destruction and the amount of violence that's negatively impacting people's lives. And I think the lesson to be learned here is how easy it was. And this should say something about the left, but how easy it was for the left to jump on board. You know, I think we have like a perfect storm. I mean, if we go back a couple years ago, we talk about the idea of AOC and the Palestinian bitch, forget her name, and the Ilhan. Ilhan Omar. No, that was a terrorist. Omar Muhammad. I don't know, something like that. But you get my point. The African person who apparently has siphoned tons and tons and tons of money to a. I think some sort of agency, would it be public relations or something or another, siphoned a lot of the campaign money, her campaign money, into them. Highly suspicious. I think it's her husband's agency. Highly suspicious. That's like pilfering 101, you know? It's like not for nothing. She should have asked around. I'm sure there were plenty of other ways to be able to pilfer and pimp your constituents, you know, very much like John Lewis. John Lewis is still dead. Still dead. I've been watching The Box most of the day. I would go over to Fox. Fox was The Box Channel. Fox was The Box Channel. See how that rhymes? Just following The Box around. Oh, there it is over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, moved out. Okay. Oh, yep, they moved it in there. Okay, moving around. I think he's doing a tour. He's going to do like a six-state tour. Six-state. Imagine that. Six-state tour. The dude's dead. Six-state tour. You know, they're acting like, you know, he's the president. They're acting like he was that important. And he wasn't. Just another race pimp. Nicer suits, a little bit more quote-unquote elegant. His bona fides were bona fides. Dude made millions and millions of dollars for himself, his family, and his friends. And all he had to do was get his skull fractured. I would consider it. Nobody's made that offer to me. Anyway, he's still dead. So he won't be going anywhere. And it's 6 days. 6 days. I might actually be able to talk about this next show. We'll have to see if anything interesting happens, you know. I wonder who's got the popcorn and the peanuts concession. Fascinating. But, so that's going on. Kentucky, I think, and this is all off the top of my head. Kentucky had two different armed militias. Now, I'm a big fan of armed militias, so I don't have a problem with that. The idea of, you know, watching black people walk around with guns, that doesn't bother me. Watching black people walk around with guns and accidentally shoot other black people in their militia, that kind of bothers me. I kind of, that's, you know, you say, well, why shouldn't we? It's constitutional. It's like, yeah, but you know what? Okay, then. The you know, I've said this before about guns. I'm sorry. This is the way I feel, you know, and it goes back to those people there with the on the lawn, you know, with the dude holding the rifle. I forget what that was. Was that Atlanta? I don't even know anymore. People should have some general knowledge of how a weapon works. That's it. So I think it's a basic thing. I think as someone, you know, I think this is something that it shouldn't be a liability issue. I mean, like, oh, this guy shot three people by accident, so we have to start some sort of litigation against the guy who sold him this gun, the store, hopefully the store that sold him this gun. I don't want to go in that direction, but I do kind of want to move in the direction of maybe somebody shouldn't be walking out the door with a weapon even after they've passed the background check if they don't understand how that weapon works. That's all I'm saying. That, you know, and that's just a public safety thing. I don't wish to impinge upon anybody's second. I lost mine. Believe me, you don't know how horribly upset I am about that. But I would never want to impinge upon anybody else's Second Right Amendment. And the idea of armed militias, not for nothing, it was armed militias that kicked the British ass back in 1776. So you're not going to hear, you know, even the idea back in the day with the Panthers, and I'm not a fan of the Panthers, but the idea of the Panthers walking around with the rifles and arming themselves, the idea of them policing bothers me. You know, I think we still have police forces. I don't think I don't think, and they were calling for a Providence police, or there was a protest today. They don't want to defund the Providence police. I'll be perfectly honest with you. As far as I'm concerned, the Providence police is defunded. I never see them here. I don't see them in the ghetto. I don't, and I, you know, that's why also the code doesn't come in, so people, it's a ghetto. They don't bother. See, this is the thing. You get that Ferguson effect. And the Ferguson effect is that, or at least part of it, to my understanding, or if not, I'm redefining it because I can do that. It's my show. The idea in Ferguson was is they just kept fining people. The cops kept fining people who didn't have money to pay shit. And these people would wind up going to jail because they couldn't afford to pay these things. They would just stack up and stack. And it was all this ricky-ticky shit that, yeah, it is code. But by the same token, a lot of it had to do with automobiles. By the same token, they can't afford it. They can't afford to pay it. So, and that's what started that tension between the police and the residents of Ferguson. And this was prior to Mike Brown acting like a buffoon. Tough guy. Tough guy. Not so much anymore. Tough guy. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, man. I just, you know, I look around and anybody, any crazy nutball who's had a problem can now tack it on to Black Lives Matter and being woke. And defunding police and, you know, at the core of it all, the idea, and I think I touched upon this moments ago, the idea of the left being hijacked. I mean, it started with AOC and all that, obviously. I think the Democratic Party skewed left, what appeared to be the power structure, or at least... influencers, as they say. It's like Instagram. You're an influencer. Started to turn left. And then to stand by and watch elected, so-called, well, they're elected, so-called officials in Democratic cities, meaning they're elected to the Democratic Party, allow their cities to be taken apart brick by brick. And to allow their police forces to have bricks and rocks and frozen water bottles and all sorts of various objects thrown upon them. And then allow the idea of defunding, not even allow it, but to actually propagate the idea of defunding the police and entertaining the notion of actually, dare I say, abolishing the police in certain areas. I can tell you, and I know I'm not alone, in no way, shape, or form do I support that. Now, it's rather interesting. Granted, I don't have much of a life, but when I did, okay, and prior to my, the year of the lost year, as I refer to it as, it shall remain so, I managed to get by in the real world without having much police involvement. As Obi-Wan said, we're looking to avoid any imperial entanglements. I managed to do it. I managed to do it. Now, granted, I'm not black, but I've always been a little shady. I've always been a little on the shady side. I've always been the type of guy that the police's spidey sense, it'll go click, click, but it won't go click, 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 click. It'll just go click, click, and it'll be like, is it worth the paperwork? I'm that kind of guy. So, yeah, I don't, there's no, you know, I shudder, and I literally do mean shudder to think what this, country would be like if, the inmates were allowed to, run the asylum, and it was one thing to, it was really, really one thing to stand there and do nothing. It's an entirely other thing. I believe I don't know whether it's the governor or the so-called mayor in Portland. They were suing. They were literally suing to have the federal authorities removed. The federal authorities who came in to protect the federal building. And they're making it seem like they're death squads. They're making it seem like it's, you know, we're back with the Sansanisa, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was doing that before. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I can't. It's the mariachi, you know, the thing with the, well, whatever. The sombrero. I can't do it. I can only do like a couple pieces at a time. That's mental illness for you. No, I'm not able to do that anymore. There's got to be a name or condition after that. Yeah. I'm a hotbed of neurosis, as they say. But anyway, yeah, it's not. You know, I don't feel safe out there, and I know a lot of people who probably were for the longest time, are not. So, to a certain degree, I say welcome to the club. you know, it was always like, well, why don't you move to a better place, Midwood? And there never really was a better place. That has changed. So, one way or another, if I have to literally move every piece of equipment and article in my home by hand, on my back, across the country, I'm doing it. I just can't, you know, it wouldn't even now, not for nothing, like I said, it's not even real have anything to do with personal feelings anymore. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. I need to be 50 miles from a major city. That's what I need. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And this is to say that, you know, I don't know where this wokeness is going. It, you know, who knows a year from now? Like, the idea of, like, a new reality. Like I said, I think it'll run its course. Very much like Corona. I think it'll run its course. I think sanity will prevail. That's what I think. That's what I think. So to get caught up, you know, and it's I'm not going to say it's fun, but it's reaction. It's what people do. I sit here behind a microphone. If I removed what's going on in regards to current events, what would I have left to talk about? I mean, how is this going to, I mean, there's no, in a way, I'm talking about it without actually talking about it because I'm talking past it. I'm looking past it. While at the same time acknowledging that it is going on, but I'm trying to stay detached, you know, not emotionally. Emotionally, yeah, I guess that would be the term. Emotional. I'm trying to, because again, I'm not. Isn't, you know, it's like it's getting. I'm not going to call it. Well, maybe a tempest in a teapot. The teapot's going to be pretty fucked up by the time it's over. But yeah, maybe I am. You know, maybe I'm looking at it as a tempest in a teapot. I'm just trying to, you know, keep my own sanity. Feel some level of safe, and I have, this is the whole thing. I think there are whole laws and stuff written about this, you know, and the idea of English common law, you know, and the idea of like self-defense laws and whatnot. I think that you have a right to feel safe in your own home. I think you have a right to feel safe walking the streets of your town. I think that right was given to you by God. That's what I think. So it's real nice that the somebody with it put all the thoughts from the Enlightenment. Jefferson stole everything. You know, it's great. It's great. All the Enlightenment, John Locke, all that stuff. You know, and again, it's wonderful that somebody put it into one nice little neat document. Woohoo! You know. They basically let Jefferson write it because the other guys on the committee didn't want to write it themselves. He was the most eloquent writer. Okay. Not so much an original thought, but eloquent. Yeah, I'm always rough on Thomas Jefferson. My least favorite forefather, gotta say. I think John Adams would be my favorite. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. It's nice that it's on a piece of paper and that someone actually acknowledged that these are inalienable. It's nice. But whether that piece of paper existed or not, that's written in your soul. That's branded on you. God gave that to you. And you really shouldn't let other people take that away from you. Now, you know, I think you shouldn't have to live in fear. I think that all the mob is, just like every other mob, is intimidation. It's not. There's no way that it would ever be possible for them to win. They might be winning little, you know, little battles here and there, little battles here and there, but they're not going to win the war. They're not. So, as much as it's, and I'll do it myself in coming weeks. I know it. However it takes for this to be, to be marginalized, because it will be. Just like always, because you know what? The genetic material isn't there. You know, John Wayne had it right. I don't think black people should be put in positions of responsibility until they prove that they can actually behave like civilized people. I'm paraphrasing. I think it's true. We're all equal in the eyes of the Lord, but I don't know. We're not the same. Let's not get into the whole species different fucking physiology thing. We're not the same. Some of us happen to be brilliant. I don't want to mention any names. But some of us happen to be brilliant.
Yay!
Others of us, not so much. Like I said, there are people who make the podcasts, and there are people who listen to the podcast. Think about that. I'm being a little of a dick, but you get my point. How many people have you encountered today that you were just smarter than? Outright smarter than. Right? Happens a lot. You're the smartest person in the room. I know I have a smart audience. I have a, you know, what's the word? Intellectually keen, obviously. How often are you the smartest person in the room? So why would you want the person who isn't the smartest person in the room making decisions? You know, you want to do shit by committee? Fine. Stupid people can vote like everybody else, but stupid people don't get to rip up streets in the city. They don't get to do that. That's the thing. You know, there has to be this thing where there's this line where we're like, both sides agree. Well, that's it. We're not going to, you know, it's when that's where things start to get dangerous, is when there's no line. And the left and its tacit approval of drastic behavior has shown you who they are. And I think to a large degree, they've shown the people in the middle. Because we both know the people in the middle say it all the time. It's just, this is it. When you get into, you know, the idea of you know, politics, and you start to get into it, the idea becomes, I believe what I believe, and they believe what they believe, and I know who I'm voting for, and they know who they're voting for. But it's those people in the middle that you're looking to influence. There's that word again. I want to be an influencer. I might be an influencer with my cat, but I'm not really even really sure of that, quite frankly. Spatsy is doing well. Cornelia is doing well. Thank you. Thank you for asking. It's crazy. It's insane. I do, you know, it's funny. I'm thinking, because I am trying to keep myself kind of distracted and like look forward, and you know, as far as like developing other hobbies, you know, I'm back on I got my radio stuff going, got my scanners going, and I'm very happy. Although one note on that, I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, I have 5 different scanners that run computer controlled, right? And I'm using a single piece of software to do it, but I'm using 5 different instances of it. So I have to 5 separate installations, right? So every now and then, this piece of software needs to be updated, and I need to update all 5 installations, which is a major pain in the nuts, just so you know. And the guy, it's actually called ProScan. I'll give the guy a plug. It's called ProScan, and recently added database. You can do database access with it, and it just gives you a virtual remote. You can control every aspect of the scanner from a computer screen, which is better than actually playing with the scanner, especially when you have a stack of them. I have to take the picture, and you'll see what I mean. So I have to update ProScan. So that's my name. If that's the worst thing, I'm thinking about all the stuff that's going on. I watched a documentary. I was so out of it that I kind of drifted into documentary land, which I do a lot. You know, in a case of, but for the grace of God goes I, you know, I started watching, there's a documentary on Prime called The 13th Man. And it's about the collapse of the bonfire wood, you know, the setup that they do for the bonfire, or they don't do it anymore, the Aggies, the Texas A&M. Since 1909 or something, it started as a trash fire, and then it turned into like this whole thing where they would build this major 4-story thing, and it's huge, and it would burn for days, and it became an event. It became, it's all, for the most part, the construction of the bonfire. We'll call it the bonfire, you know, the wood and whatnot. They cut logs, they would get logs, and they would wire them in, and you know, there's a certain amount of engineering required, and there had been a collapse once. I think it fell apart once. back in the 90s when nobody was hurt because it was nobody was at the site at the time. But on I think it was November 19th, 1999, I think was the date. It collapsed while it was being worked on, and 12 students were killed, and many others were injured. They were caught in the stack, because you have to imagine, this is like logs. This is like a construction made entirely out of logs. So when the logs collapsed, they all kind of interlocked and interchanged. And imagine a big old pile of fiddlesticks, only with human beings in there. And the documentary focused on the history of it and what happened on that particular occasion, and gave little things about the people who had died, which was nice. And the last person they pulled out, the 13th man, as he's referred to, was seriously injured, and it covers him a little bit. It's just an interesting, you know, is it inspirational? Yeah, considering the guy could have just given up, like, on several occasions, because he was really fucked up. It was really interesting. So it's called The 13th Man. And I think that that thing comes from the 12th Man, Home of the 12th Man. And I think the story behind that is there was a fan in the stadium during one of the football games for Texas A&M. They were playing somebody. And most of, if not all of the other team members were injured. So they called this guy out of the stands because he had done a little workouts with them and practice and shit. And they called him on this, called him out onto the field, gave him a fucking uniform, and he became the 12th man. And that's where the term the 12th man comes from. It's interesting. It's one of the largest campuses in the country, maybe the second largest campus in the country. It used to be a male military school. And it's got a little chip on its shoulder because it's considered to be that they were in the old days considered to be Hicks and Hayseed. So got a little thing going with TU, Texas University. But a fascinating documentary, and I like stuff that kind of takes me away for a little while. And what I've been doing lately is I've been really thinking about getting back into video. I think I might want to push this show again. I haven't decided how I want to do it, but most likely it would be Vaughn, because that's the easiest outlet to be able to do what I want to do. I will probably not make them available for archive. I will probably just do the show live and not worry about saving it or storing it, because that becomes kind of nightmarish. Although I could currently do it, I just don't have any interest in doing it. And I'm interested, although not that I need to do this in order to go back to video, but I'm interested in getting a camera, a nice DSLR. We'll see. I'm like 85% of the direction that I want to go in. It's a Canon 90D, for those who are interested in such matters. It'll do video. It'll do 1080p. It does the 1.6 crop because it's not a full sensor. You know, it's not a full frame. But it does video. It does 1080p. It does at like up to 120. And it'll do friggin' N24, by the way. And it'll do friggin' 4K. With just the 1.6 crop for up to like I think 24 and 30. So that's pretty impressive, and it takes marvelous photos. I think 10 frames per second on the shutter automatic, if I set that. That's a lot of frames. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So it would be a new toy, and I would want to, you know, because I've always liked photography. I've always appreciated I've always appreciated photography. I could, like, there have been times where I could, like, look at the type of photos that someone was taking and how they were manipulating the photos that they took and what they were trying to achieve. And you know, it becomes the idea of expressing what's in one's head in a picture. You know, what they say, a picture has 1,000 words. So I've always appreciated the artistry in photography, let alone the idea of videography. Which is interesting to me to be able to go mobile. And I am going through this transition from here to the great state of Texas. So I might want to document that. And it's just interesting. I mean, I take a fair amount of photos with my phone, you know, always have it with me. It's a decent camera. It's not great, but it's decent. I'm happy with results. But I want something that's a little bit more on the prosumer side of things. Yeah, maybe that's the best way of putting it. So I'm trying my best to look forward, you know, because, you know, the world as we know it it's being shaken. I'm reiterating, and it's not changed forever. This is going to be a blip. This would be like Watts. Remember Watts riots when Dr. King was killed? Remember those riots?
Yeah.
Okay. That, not for nothing, Dr. King's killing, that brought us older generation of race pimps. You know, that's where I put John Williams. Is it Williams? Robin Williams? No, John Lewis. Reverend Al, what's his face? The one who had the blood on the shirt there. I bet you, yeah, that's the guy that made more money than that shirt. Jesse Jackson. Yeah. You know the race pimps. You know what I mean when I say race pimps. Yeah, I put John Lewis in that category. So Elijah Cummings. These are guys who made shitloads of money. Shitloads of oodles and oodles and oodles of money, and they have the poorest districts in Congress. How is that possible? Everybody talks about, oh, Donald Trump's having meetings with the Saudis, and he's giving them a hotel, and he's selling them hotel space in his own hotel, and he's Orange Man corrupt. Orange Man, he's just in it for the money. He's bad. You know, but take a look at what these fucking niggas have fucking moving on up. Take a look at what these guys made. Take a look at their net worth, and then let's ask how that happened. How is that possible? And then we can move on over to the whiteys in Congress. And this is the Republicans too. A lot of the Republicans, believe me, don't get me wrong, this seems to be, there's something wrong that the people who legislate, who are elected to legislate us, have lost touch with what it means to actually live like a normal person in America. Seriously. No fucking clue. No fucking clue. They, again, Congress is the Congress bubble. I like that term now. I live in my own bubble. The Congress bubble has been around for a long ass time. You know, I go back and I think about our forefathers, you know, and I think about the idea of where being a politician wasn't a career. It was a duty that was fulfilled. You know, it was a civic responsibility if you were elected. But it wasn't a career. As soon as politics became a career, and you can look at any society, you can look at any, you know, civilization, if you will. You know, it represented the end. You know, are we in the end? Yeah, I thought about this today, and I say to myself, you know, because I say it all the time, you know, the producer and I look at each other, and we're like, man, if we could get another 20, 25 years before the wheels fall off the whole thing, we'll be happy. But I don't know, you know, I could be, and this is where my conscience kicks in. I do and am concerned about future generations of America. I guess it's this thing, and I've done a lot of shitty things in my life, but I guess it's this thing that I picked up from the Boy Scouts, whereas it's, you leave the campground better than you found it. That's it. Better than you found it. And I think that's why I bothered to do any of this. You know, I gave up the idea of some sort of cathartic experience. I've been doing this, but I've been back behind the mic for 3 years. It's not going to happen. I mean, if it does, it's going to happen so unexpectedly that I might as well just do what I'm going to do and not be searching for that white whale. Believe me, there's a lot of other whales out there. But yeah, if it weren't for the fact that I'm concerned about the future of America, I wouldn't give a shit. I'm not as nihilistic, as I used to be. Yeah, for sure. And still, people who have kids scare the fuck out of me. It's like, what were you thinking? But anyway, you know, that's a whole other conversation, as they say. I'm coming up on the hour. I don't know, is there anything off the top of my head that I wanted to mention? I'm trying to think. I know there was one thing. I know it's the Kentucky thing with the two militias, two armed militias, with the cops between them. Oh, great. Wonderful. You know, I asked, support your police for sure. Even if it's just on social media, you know, get around. I get one guy who sends a lot of stuff out on via, you know, group thing on and wants to make stuff go viral, as he puts it, which I appreciate. I do. I get the idea behind it. I think, you know, if you put up one or two hokey, stupid, you know, retweet or repost kind of things that involve the police, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I think, you know, again, you can't get sucked in to that slippery slope. You know, at the end of the day, I would even argue that if Black Lives Matter wasn't a a facade for Marxism, I would still have a problem with the idea of apparently the only lives that matter are black lives taken by police officers, which are minuscule. Minuscule. I can't even stress how minuscule compared to the amount of black lives taken by other black men in a particular age group. Black men of a particular age. Yeah. 100%. So, you know, it's malarkey. It's malarkey to begin with, you know. And who's their poster child? What, right? George Floyd? Look, take a look at this guy's criminal record. Take a look at this guy. He's a frequent flyer. Frequent, what the law enforcement refers to as a frequent flyer. You understand? Repeat offender. Repeat offender. St. George. Yeah, they even co-opted that. It's bad enough. The facts have co-opted the rainbow. Every time I say, I actually got a picture of a rainbow 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, yeah. After that huge storm, there's a big-ass storm that moved through New England. And I got a little bit of shot of a, kind of mini shot of a rainbow. And maybe it was more than 2 weeks ago. And every time I see a rainbow, I think, one, I think of the facts because it makes me angry how they co-opted it. But I think about what it was originally meant to be. And that was the covenant between God and mankind that he would never destroy or try to destroy the earth again. That's what that originally was. So when you think of rainbow, that's what you should think. Not these fucking ass clowns who want to be validated because their DNA is broken. Right? Remember that. What else is going on? The good news is that you're not really hearing a lot out of radical Islam these days. I guess between being locked down with the COVID and friggin' being upstaged by Black Lives Matter, they're real quiet, which is really good. I'm happy. I'm happy. Those malakas. But I think that's it. I think I'm just gonna do the hour. I'm gonna float in on the hour. I think like two, 3 minutes for an hour. I hope to feel better. I know I complain about how I feel pretty much, but this show is basically an extension of how I feel. So, you know, it's certainly expected, you know. I got one little side note that's actually kind of funny, right? So I'm minding my own business, which I normally do. And I get this, I was tagged in a post on Facebook, right? And it turns out it's Hank's Hey Case, you know, of WHOT fame, you know, and WFAT and the Hank and Jim Radio Network. You know, if you listen to the show, you know who Hank and Jim are just by me referencing them. So it's a post. Apparently, he's looking for a show that was on WJPL, which was JL's pirate station back in 86. And he's saying it was a parody of WHOT. And it was a little bit before my time because I didn't start to listen to Jay, let alone go down there, you know, become part of the, action, for lack of a better term, until like the fall winter of 86. So I missed it. I didn't know about it. Now I know that there was, for lack of a better word, there was a tension during those days, and there was a certain amount of antagonism between stations. So I was not surprised to hear that the show existed, but my comment was that I never really kept any archives or anything, and I did actually get access to various archives of other things over the years, and I lost them. And matter of fact, I only have a couple of few really key pieces because I got them from Randy, which is really kind of funny. But anyway, so I told him I nothing. You know, I posted on the thread because I didn't want to ignore it. I wasn't able to keep any archives. And then I expected JL to chime in, which he did. And he doesn't even remember the show. So I think there's some idea of what people are talking about. JL has always been very, and I say this about him, I love the guy to death. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. It's his fault. I love the guy to death. His efforts and what he does and what he produces are so intense that they're very now. So he's now and he does it amazing now, and then he moves on to the next now. So the idea of like a long Ask John about something from 1986 is, you know, and I knew it was pretty pointless. I didn't want to say as much, and I didn't want to say, well, why don't you ask JL? Because I knew where the thread was going. So JL responded, if you have a date, I might be able to look. It might be on a reel tape somewhere, but it's slim to none, especially since he doesn't even know what bit he may be looking for. And he used to do bits all the time. So yeah, Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then Hank asked about any barbecues this year, and JL reiterated that, you know, as you know, I assume people who listen to the show might still listen to John. he's concerned about his sister, and he doesn't want to affect his sister. So he's very, very cautious in regards to being as COVID safe and on, you know, keeping his chances of COVIDiness a minimal, because he doesn't want to infect his sister with the CPOD there. Which is sad, because I'm leaving next spring, and I hope to see him at least once before next spring. And you know the world's coming to an end, or you know at least it's shaken very badly when you get, I had a friggin' just a regular plain old text message from Pinball Wizard, and he's sending me George Orwell 1984 excerpts. Just an excerpt. He took a picture of the page and sent it to me. So you know there's stuff going on when Pinball Wizard breaks out the Orwell. Duly noted. Anyway, it's been fun. I'm gonna go whimper off. I can't stop sweating, and it's like the medical sweat. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? It's a physiology thing going on here for sure, man. And I have to figure out what it is. And I'm hoping maybe I just don't feel well. I certainly hope it's not the COVID. That would suck. I gotta honestly say. But I'm not running a fever. I'm just sweating like a fucking pig. You know what? It's an insult to pigs. It's an insult to pigs to say that Midwood sweat like a pig. It's a Midwood. It's that he's gibbering. Breaking up. All right, anyway. Let's see. So I'm gonna get out of here and
Yay!
That's what I thought you'd say. Let me do my plugs real quick. Is this even here? Yeah, it's here. Okay. LFMidwood.com. You got my archives up there. You got my favorites. Definitely my social media. Probably going to get a little bit more active on Instagram. I want to take pictures. I want to like just click, and I want to go outside and take pictures of stuff before I leave. Whatever Rhode Island is infamous for. Infamous. Which I think will actually be kind of cool. So that being said, my social media I take very seriously for the most part, and my archives are up there. Previous archives from I don't know. I guess going back at least to three years and change. I guess we're coming up on 4 years. Oh my gosh, that's the longest I've been in one place. You know, I gotta say, where I live now in Providence, this is the longest I've lived in one place. Yeah, I had like a 5 year expiration date. For the most part, I've been here like going on 11 years, which is really crazy, in more ways than one. Anyway, you got links to John Lightning up there. Hit the 11LR and I link on the side or on the top, depending upon which type of device you happen to be using. And all the way over on the right there, you got Grits Radio, our good friend Brad Reed, who, you know, I didn't get a chance to, I was sick. But usually I just... I at least tune in to see what Area 51's doing on, you know, as far as signal and what goes. I got short waves coming out of my butt now. But I just didn't feel well. So I just lied there and moaned and slid into the shower before. That's all I did. You know what? I leave little pill cups. I got little cups that I take, you know, the things from the top of the medication bottles, like NyQuil and stuff, only smaller. I have a stack of them. And I find them all over the place because I forget to take them back. Apparently, I left one in here. Because there's one sitting on the desk. It's got no hope I didn't miss that dose. Anyway, thanks for imbibing. I will psychically absorb your goodwill and all that jazz. It's really been a wrecked up and kind of wrecked 2 weeks. It's been like kind of a bit of a train wreck. If I owe you a phone call, I will do my best to get back to you this week. I've been really bad. I apologize ahead of time. I do enjoy my correspondence with people because it's like really my only link to the real world. Only link. And my cat. He's a link. Anyway, let me play this. Did I forget anything? I did the plugs. I did that. I did this. I'm going to play that. Okay, it's already in here, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to play my clothes and then I'm leaving. So I'll be God willing, that's all I can say. Hope God be with you, be with thee. May the great God in the sky be with thee and me until we meet again. I stole that from somewhere. That's a Boy Scout thing too, I think, not for nothing. But no, seriously, you know, our God is better than their God. Remember that at all times. Our God is better than their God. Night all.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening. RNI.